grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Beloved and sovereign God, through the death and resurrection of your Son, you bring us into your kingdom of justice and mercy. By your Spirit, give us your wisdom, that we may treasure the life that comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. I'm going to stand your place.
First reading is from 1 Kings. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father, David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall rise after you." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 119 responsively. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore I obey them with all my heart.
When your word is open, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple.
I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as you always do to those who love your name. Order my footsteps in your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Rescue me from those who oppress me, and I will keep your commandments. Let your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes.
My eyes
have shed streams of tears because people do not keep your teaching. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Whom will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress
or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in the branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. So it was full. They drew it to shore, sat down, and put the good in the baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of the household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Christ. During the summer, in year 2 of the church lectionary, and that'll be next year for us, the scripture readings are mostly taken from the Gospel of Mark. And during that time of Mark, in the summer, we get 5 weeks of John chapter 6. That's the bread of life chapter. Quite a challenge for a preacher to come up with a fresh bread sermon 5 weeks in a row. But that's next summer. Right now, we are in year 1 of the lectionary, of the church lectionary. Our scripture is mostly from Matthew. And we get weeks and weeks and weeks of parables that start, the kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus tells 7 parables in the 13th chapter of Matthew's gospel that reveal something important to us about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus really wanted the crowd and his disciples and us to get it, to understand what is important about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't care at all about the preacher or about the congregation that we have to preach and hear the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, week after week for 5 weeks. Well, 3 weeks. Seems like 5. Jesus really wants us to get it. The whole chapter, 3 Sundays worth of gospel lessons, is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, let those who have ears to hear listen. The kingdom of heaven is like, Do you understand what I am saying? The kingdom of heaven is like, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like, do you understand what I am saying? Do you understand it? Are you getting it? This persistence in this chapter reminds me of the time when I was in South Dakota. We had our middle school youth group decorate the church for Christmas. Less is more. Simplicity, understatement. Those are design concepts that do not belong in a 12-year, don't reside in a 12-year-old mind. Every inch of tinsel rope, every piece of red ribbon was flung over, draped on, or attached in some way to every surface in the church. I remember seeing one child standing in the middle aisle with this piece of tinsel rope that was about this long, and he was holding it like this, going, eyes darting, looking for some, any surface to drape this last piece of tinsel. I'm reminded of this with this scripture. Jesus is in the boat, looking at the crowd of people sitting on the hillside, hungry for his word, eager for his teaching. And Jesus is looking around, eyes darting, looking for some, any example so that they can get the truth about the kingdom of heaven. Oh, it's like that sower who's planting his seed. Look at, he's tossing his seed everywhere. The kingdom of heaven is like that abandon, that lavishness. It goes everywhere. Hard hearts, stony hearts, distracted lives, good soil. God's seed is everywhere. Oh, it's like that sower who planted his field with good seed, and look, there's weeds in that field. You know, the kingdom of heaven is like that. It's like a field that has good and bad, weeds and wheat. And you know what? It's not your job to worry about that. God will sort that out in God's time. That's God's kingdom work. Your kingdom work is the response. Don't worry about that. Do you get it? Oh, the kingdom of heaven is like this tiny seed. It's just like this little teeny seed that you might call it a weed. Well, it takes over. It's an invasive plant. It just, if you get one of these in your garden, you're going to be sorry because it's going to take over. But maybe you want it because you need to make some pickles and you need to have, or relish, and you need to have this mustard. So you want it, but it takes over. It grows big. God's kingdom is little, but it's growing, and it will take over. It will be everywhere. It doesn't matter. Ignoring, persecution, enticement to other gods, not going to eradicate God's kingdom. It's everywhere. You get it? Oh, the kingdom of heaven is like this woman who's baking bread. She adds yeast. And you know, when you mix the yeast into the dough, it's water or liquid and flour and yeast, and it's all together. And it makes bread not for one, but for many people. And just like that dough is a mix, and you can't tell when it's growing or how it's growing, but you know it is. God's kingdom is like that. It's a mixture. Jews and Gentiles, men and women, rich and poor, and every other and that you can think of, mixed together in the kingdom of God. Let everyone with ears to hear listen. Oh, it's like one of you, a tenant farmer. Wouldn't you have great joy if when you're plowing the field, you bump into a treasure? You would do anything to own that field so you could own that treasure. You would sacrifice and figure out a way that you could do that you could earn that treasure of great value. What joy that brings to those who possess it. You didn't even know it was there until you stumbled upon it. Are you willing to put everything that you have everything that you are in order to own that field? God's kingdom is like that. It doesn't belong just to the elite or to the rich. God's kingdom is for everyone who wants it. You? Are you listening to me? Oh, God's kingdom is like a wholesale trader. God's kingdom is like the best of the best of the wares that you have been searching for your sale. A pearl of great price that you have sought all your career. Have you been looking for the Messiah, for the promised one? Jesus, not me. Jesus. Have you been looking for the Messiah, for the promised one, the priceless gift of God, right in your presence, right there for you? Are you getting the picture? Oh, the kingdom of God is like these fishermen in this next boat. Watch them. They are pulling their net in, and the net is filled. The net is filled with good and bad fish, things that don't look like fish. They look more like old boots and sea glass. But they haul that net to the shore and sort it out. Well, God has some sorting out to do of the kingdom, but that's God's kingdom work. And that will be done in God's time. We don't have to worry about it. Our focus doesn't need to be on the net and on what else is in the net, but our focus is on our own response to this message. Don't you worry about sorting it out. Have you understood all of this? Jesus so wants us to understand what is the kingdom of God. He's like that little boy with a pencil rope, looking anywhere for any flat surface. Jesus is looking anywhere and everywhere for any example that will help us grab hold of what is the kingdom of God. And why is that so important? Why is it so important to us, that for us, that Jesus really wants us to understand this? A good number of years ago, there was an advertising campaign, and I think it was Starbucks, but I can't remember for sure. They were posting on their coffee cups or on their fast food bags or whatever company it was. This program was called As I See It, The Way I See It. And people were invited to write a paragraph about anything and whatever they wanted, the way I see it, expressing their own opinion. This is number 230. The way I see it, heaven is totally overrated. It seems boring. Clouds, listening to people play the harp. It should be somewhere you can't wait to go, like a luxury hotel. Maybe blue skies and soft music were enough to keep people in line in the 17th century. But heaven has to step it up a bit. They're basically getting by because they only have to be better than hell. I didn't come to church during the summer when we were having lectionary year A, number one, because they never read or heard or listened to chapter 13 of Matthew's gospel. That is not even close to what Jesus was talking about with the kingdom of heaven. Too many of us, too often, we want to think of the kingdom of heaven as something out there or something much later, hopefully much later. And only for those people that we think should deserve it. But I didn't hear any of that in Jesus' parables. Did you hear that part of Jesus' parable? There wasn't there. Maybe the reason Jesus took so much time explaining the kingdom of heaven is because he knows that we need to be reminded to look for that kingdom, for God's presence in our lives right now, all the time. The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of heaven is within us. The kingdom of heaven is around us. God wants to give us the assurance that even when it seems absent, it isn't. It may seem absent, maybe hidden, maybe ignored, but it's here, now. The kingdom of heaven is here in abundance, growing, and it's for all of us. In a couple weeks, we'll be doing Vacation Bible School with our neighbors up the street at All Souls Episcopal Church. And the first day of Vacation Bible School, the children will be given a wristband, a bracelet, that says, "Watch for God." And they will be encouraged to keep their eyes open. They call them God sightings. Keep their eyes open for the presence of God, for the things of God, for what's God up to, what's God doing in your life, what's God doing today. Now, I'm not going to give you bracelets, but I want you to, right now, put on an imaginary bracelet. So it can be a big, chunky bracelet. Is anybody wearing a big, chunky bracelet? Anybody wearing a bracelet today? Ah, there are some bracelets. Okay, somebody has bracelets on. It can be a big bracelet. It can be a little one like Dean's. It can be a big one. It can be a bracelet that you wear every single day of your life. So this imaginary bracelet I want you to wear every day for the next week. And notice it. It says, "Watch for God." And watch for God. Where is the kingdom of God in your life? Notice where God is working in your life, in your dealings with other people, in your situations, in every situation. Because remember, like that sower that threw the seed everywhere, the kingdom of God is everywhere. Pay attention to the kingdom of God in your life. Let those with ears listen. Amen.